Well, the story we're going to look at today is all about seeing. It's all about opening our eyes. In fact, it comes right on the heels of Jesus healing a man who was blind. But what does he want from Jesus? Lord, I want to see, he says. So Jesus says, receive your sight. And the man can see his way now to following Jesus and praising God. And then what happens? Well, all the people saw it, Luke writes. And so they also praised God. See, it's all about seeing in this text. It's all about Jesus helping us to see. So let's keep that in mind as we read this familiar story now of Zacchaeus. I hope we can still see it with fresh eyes. What does each character see in this story? What do they want? What do they want to see? What do they want to see? Let's hear now the word of the Lord from Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Well, I don't have to convince you that this is another experience and extend story here. Zacchaeus has this powerful encounter with Jesus, and in no time at all, he's paying that grace forward, sharing that generosity with others. I may have to convince you, though, that this is a story of forgiveness, because there's no sinner's prayer here, and no official words of confession or pardon at all. Jesus just looks up at this scoundrel and says, I'm coming over now. Now, what we've got to see is what the crowds see and what Zacchaeus sees and most of all, what Jesus sees. And if that sycamore tree could see things, well, then what that tree would have seen here as well. Because in the end, we're going to have to choose how we see others in the light of this story, especially those sinners we can't stand, those filthy little rotters we'd rather just see as monsters. So first, what do the crowds see? Well, notice that Jesus was passing through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem through Jericho, Luke says. That's interesting because we remember a few things about Jericho from another children's story, don't we? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, marching seven times around its walls, and then saving that sinner Rahab from her spying perch of judgment. So you wonder if this isn't a moment where history's repeating itself. Because here comes Jesus marching through the walls of Jericho, the walls of that crowd, as they did their best to shut sinners like Zacchaeus out. And he's even got the same name as Joshua, Yeshua, Yahweh saves. So could he be the one to deliver them from the Romans? Will this be the time he restores the kingdom to Israel? No, don't let that filthy tax collector see him. He's hardly rooting for that. Zacchaeus wasn't just a tax collector, but the chief tax collector in all of Jerusalem, or in all of Jericho, you see. He was a man of great wealth and means who managed a whole citywide network of shady middlemen and profiteers. So when the people looked at him, they saw a sellout. They saw a traitor on the side of the Romans. They saw a hopelessly lost cause. Why let a hater like him close if the Messiah they hoped for was here? Zacchaeus climbed a tree, not just because he was short, Luke states, but because he could not see over the crowd. And why not? Because it was all backs and elbows for him, a wall of judgment, scorn, and shame. When the crowds caught sight of Zacchaeus, even up in that tree, all they could see was someone to look down on, you see. They saw him through a lens of unforgiveness, of hate. But we need to see that we don't see when we only see people through our bitterness, our hurt, our rage. We need to see that at any given moment, we can't see half a person's motives or a tenth of what's in somebody's heart. No one's quite sure who said it first, but some have attributed this quote to Robin Williams. It's been one of the most meaningful memes passed around, shuttled around on social media in the last few years. Be kind. Because everyone you meet is fighting a battle you know nothing about. We need to see others as more than the worst thing that they've ever done. That's a direct quote from Brian Stevenson, who works with prisoners on death row. Each of us is more than the worst thing that we've ever done. And in his book, Just Mercy, Brian gives countless stories, Zacchaeus kinds of stories, that just prove that so well. It's wrong to reduce a person to their crimes. It's unforgiving and unjust. For instance, in one story, he asks an inmate named Herbert on the night of his execution, "Herbert, how has your day been today?" And Herbert replies, "Well, Brian, it's been strange. It's been awful. Awful strange. All day long, people have been so nice to me. They've been asking me, 'Can we get you some water? Can we get you some coffee? Can we get you some stamps to mail your last letter?' More people have asked me how they can help me today than have asked me that in all my life." And Brian says, "I was standing there with him and I thought, yeah, where were they when you were 3, Herbert, and your mom died? When you were 9 and got hooked on drugs? Or when you got back from Nam and no one helped you with all the trauma or helped you to find a home or find a job? Herbert did a terrible thing setting off that bomb at that girl's house, but what about us?" Stevenson asks. "Who leaves a kid without help till he's on death row at his 11th hour facing the chair, facing the cross? Can't we see that each of us is more than the worst thing we've ever done?" Not a single person in that crowd thought Zacchaeus was more, though, thought that Zacchaeus here could ever change. You know what? I bet that Zacchaeus, he didn't either. But someone was coming who did, someone who could see more, even in those lost souls, than we could see with our wee little vision. Someone who saw who Zacchaeus was, and by God's grace, who he could become. The people saw a worm, a leech on society, but Jesus saw a man, a lost sheep. The people saw an outcast worthy of shame, but Jesus saw a person in whom God's image still remained. The people saw a chief of sinners beyond all hope of redemption here in faith. Jesus saw a man ready to open his house, a man who was longing for a change. See, unlike us and unlike everyone else who was there in the crowd there that day, Jesus didn't look down at Zacchaeus. Jesus looked up at him. He looked up at him, the text states. And because of that, something happens to Zacchaeus, something that he couldn't manage or control, something he couldn't collect or contain. Suddenly the old miser finds himself in danger of becoming a man of grace. Do you see it? Jesus doesn't offer Zacchaeus a thing. He offers Zacchaeus himself, his presence, his love, his acceptance. He looks up and sees this lonely old crook in that tree, and he knows exactly what this man needs. Company. And so he invites himself over. Zacchaeus, come down here at once, for I must stay at your house today, Jesus states. It's a divine necessity, like all the others we've seen in our text on forgiveness so far. See, there's an urgency about Jesus' request here. Jesus is moving into Zacchaeus' life, and this must happen now, today. Do we call people out like that? Are we so eager to see them welcome Jesus? When's the best time to start forgiving someone? You know Jesus' answer. It's now. It's today. It may be a long journey until you feel it, a long battle until it's finished. But if you find it in you, in Jesus, to do so, then do not wait. Jesus looks up to Zacchaeus, even when everyone else looks down on him and mutters. Jesus expects the best from that crook, even though they expect the worst. But because he does, Zacchaeus sees a better version of himself reflected in Jesus' eyes there than he or the others would have thought possible. What did Zacchaeus see? Well, who he is in the light of Christ. Look, Lord, he says, like an excited child, here and now I give half my possessions. I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I'll pay them back four times. If I have cheated anyone, he says, and that's a first-class conditional clause in the Greek, so it assumes that he did. Since I have cheated some folks, he basically confesses, I'll pay them back four times the amount. And just like that, the chief swindler of Jericho becomes its greatest philanthropist. Look, Lord, I can do it. I can extend your grace to others, he says. If you can see me that way, then why not? I'll do my best. Pay it forward. You see, when Zacchaeus finally found it was expected of him, called out by Jesus here, he saw himself different. And he rose. This man, too, is a son of Abraham, Jesus says, blessed to be a blessing in this world. Do we see the best in one another, even in those whose jobs we don't all approve of? What about in those who've hurt us or those who've betrayed us in some way? I wonder how many people need to see a better version of themselves reflected in our eyes, as hard as that might be for us to do sometimes. Forgiveness can free people from the prison of others' judgments and their own. To love a person means to see them as God intended them to be, said Dostoevsky. We need grace-healed eyes, says Philip Yancey, to see the potential in others for the same grace God has so lavishly bestowed on us. Probably the best thing a Christian can do is to find the good, what's true in others, and praise the ones who least expect it. Christ calls us to encourage, and that literally means to enhearten others, from the French words, en cœur. See, Zacchaeus came to see what Jesus saw in him here, a better version of himself. And that's what all of us need to see and need to share with others too. But how do we do that for the people who never do that, who've done exactly the opposite to us in this world? How do we forgive the people who look like monsters through our hurt? Well, in his book, The Art of Forgiving, Lewis Meads admits that there's no right way, no one right way to forgive someone else. Forgiveness is a journey from the moment we decide to do it till it's actually done. But he also maintains that there are three general steps to forgiving a person, to learning to extend our grace to others, to translating God's vertical grace into horizontal for others. First, we rediscover the humanity of the other person. We rediscover the humanity of the other person. And that's not saying that what they did to us should all be excused, but that we don't count them a monster or purely evil just because of it. We recognize that like us, they're broken people, but that they're made in the image of God, so some goodness still remains. She's nothing but a liar, we want to say, but no, she's more. We first admit that to ourselves. Second, we surrender the right to get even with that scab who wronged us. We let go of our anger. We let go of our need for vengeance. And that doesn't mean that justice won't be served, but that we give up the need to balance the scales for ourselves. If it were up to us, we'd make them pay. We'd let them have it. And then we'd waste our lives in that endless cycle. As Malachi McCourt once said, resentment is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. So third, we revise our feelings toward the other person. We revise our feelings, Smead says. Forgiveness is a decision first, but it can't stop in cold calculation. Our feelings also eventually must follow. It can take months or years, but eventually we'll find ourselves willing the good of the other person, hoping to see them blessed and not cursed, even if at times they still act like enemies towards us. But it's all well and nice to know those steps in principle. It's a whole other thing to actually put them into practice. So let me close with a story about somebody who's done that in the most unimaginable way. This is Polly Shepherd. And Polly says forgiveness comes to us in stages, and her feeling that forgiveness is impossible is actually one of those stages. After surviving a mass shooting in her church, she's actually done all three. On June 17, 2015, Polly was attending her usual Bible study at Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church, a beautiful historic church in Charleston, South Carolina. But as she and her 11 friends rose for the benediction that day, a young man named Dylan Roof, who just joined them for the first time, took out a gun and shot 9 of them dead. All of them African Americans that day, and all on the altar of his white supremacist hate. But when he came around to Polly, he asked, "Did I shoot you yet?" And trembling, she said, "No." "Then I'm not going to shoot you," he said, "because I want you to tell the story. Tell the story of what happened here." "But my story is how good God is," Polly now says. "That's the story I'm telling. A story of healing and forgiveness and grace." And so with the families of the 9 victims, Polly actually made a statement. She made a public statement, even in the court, to forgive. What Dylan did that day made him the easiest person, the most justifiable person in the world to hate. And we would imagine the hardest person to ever love or forgive. But listen to how Polly describes him a few months after those diabolical moments, that monstrous thing that he did. Listen to how she still looks to humanize and seeks the good for him instead. "Sometimes I wish I could talk to him and see what's actually in his mind," she said. "He said why he was doing it, but I just wish that I could talk to him. If I sat across the table from him, I think I could help him see different. I feel sorry for that young man because he's only 21 and he's a lost soul. He needs to accept Christ and repent for what he's done," she said. "And if God forgives him, he's good. Actually, he'll make it to the other side." She hopes he does. She hopes he'd listen. And that's how Polly knows that she's forgiven him, you see. Thousands have muttered and grumbled at her story. "That's so unjust. How could you let that monster off the hook?" Well, that's when Polly shares what took her months to realize. When you forgive someone, you think you're letting them off the hook. But no, really, you're letting yourself off the hook. Because if you don't have that forgiveness, you're not gonna heal. If Dylan sat down with Polly now, I have to think that the eyes across from him would not be narrowed. But eyes like Zacchaeus saw that day, eyes wide open, inviting him to be someone better. In fact, when asked why he didn't shoot Polly, Dylan told the court, "She was looking at me, so I couldn't shoot her. She was looking at me, so I couldn't do it." Believe it or not, Polly finds hope in that too. Let's pray now together. Lord, it's a mystery to us how you could ever choose to forgive our rotten world. It's a mystery how you could ever ask us to care for others with that grace. But help us to accept it, even for those people who've harmed us greatly and who we sometimes don't want to see change. Help us see them as you see them, Lord. Stretch our lenses. Grow our faith. In Jesus' name we ask this, and God's people say together,